Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
No, no, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
With retard. You say funny things.
Hey guys,
what's up?
You don't seem very excited, Dave.
What's up?
Damn. That was loud. You need to calm the fuck down.
What's up?
Oh, thanks. That's better. that was perfect.
Okay.
That was like medium temperature porridge.
Yep.
Good.
That's what I strive for.
Mm-hmm.
Brad compares everything to porridge.
Yep. That's how you grade things. It's a porridge grading system.
Is it cool enough for you to put your in?
Yeah.
Or is it going to burn your...
I'm the one with the dick jokes. And again, I did fill in the blank. You might not have been talking
about... I wasn't. I was talking about... I just said, and made a gesture.
Is that me?
I don't know.
I know.
My shit ain't that... I need...
No, it's kind of quiet.
Volumes.
Is it?
Yeah.
I might have bumped stuff, sorry.
Messing around with everything. What are we doing?
Being hot and miserable.
It is fucking hot in here.
Welcome to the swamp ass episode of the Sofa King Podcast.
Jesus Christ.
It's 105 today.
It's been
supposed to be 111 tomorrow.
It's been we've had an abnormally cool summer. Like a week ago, it was 74 degrees when it should have been like 94 degrees.
Yeah. Or 100.
100-ish, you know, but like we've got at least an 11-day heat wave and we're only in day two.
I think this is the first day.
Fuck.
Like, well, no, yesterday was like 102. Today's 105, 106.
I went out last night at like 9 o'clock to take my dogs out. It was fucking 97 degrees out.
Yeah, I mowed my lawn this morning.
I looked at the poster on my wall. It was 98 degrees. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's going to be 109. It's going to be 109 tomorrow.
Yeah, I thought it was 100. Oh, and then Tuesday, 111.
Yeah, it's supposed to get. Yeah. Anyway, my balls.
Yeah.
And those of you who live like in the UK or something and you don't know what those temperatures mean, do a quick conversion because it's my balls.
It's hot as fuck.
It's like 7,000 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
It gets lower. All I ever know is 37 degrees Celsius is 98.6. That's how I base it. So I try to do a little bit of math there. Yeah. But you can't really do actually because you can't just go adding 7 degrees.
No.
It doesn't work.
No.
But you can get a good idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot shit.
7,000 degrees Celsius.
We have a techo winner. I posted kind of late.
One week we need a techo loser.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
You were going to win. Dave just fucked your shit up. No.
The loser of this week's hot sack is.
It was fucking sad. People were just posting like, I don't have a dad, but like, here's a picture of my toe. Like, I don't have a dad, or I do have a dad. Like, someone posted the last picture of their father. Like, this isn't techo sauce, but here's the last picture of me and my dad. I'm like, fuck, man.
Quit your bitching. I don't have a dad either.
Yeah.
Fucking pussies.
So.
Grow the fuck up.
On that note, someone last week had posted a picture of, like, potted meat or something. Like, this canned pink pudding shit that was disgusting.
Like generic Spam.
Yeah. I guess. I don't think it's like that. It's like liquid.
Was it
Spam
bean dip?
Is solid. This shit's like, looks like pudding.
It's bean dip.
It looked like bean dip.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
But more
watery. Like a, it's a Caucasian brown schwager.
Yeah. It was like a feces in a can.
Yeah, basically that's what I just said.
So that person is Jenna Corbett, and they posted it again this week, and I said that shit was gross last week and it's still fucking gross this week. They had like a bottle of red Teco over some like meat soup gross fucking can. And she responded with a picture of a bear mounted on the wall holding a spatula with a bottle of Yucateco in its mouth. So on that, she was the Teco loser, and now she is the greatest comeback in the history
and
of Teco.
So she's both the Teco loser and the Teco winner. Yeah.
So she is the Teco winner for this week, so I'll get her address. And then also, I'm going to give
her... get her address?
Honorable mention. I will get her address.
You're going to buy her address?
The blue one. I'm into blue dresses.
We're sending dresses.
Yeah. It could be gold. It depends on, you know, like, yeah.
It depends on her tastes.
Yeah. But there's also a runner-up, an honorable mention, and that's Shea Gufteson.
Shea Butter.
Yeah, Shea Butter. That person made chili, and
Shea Gustafsson.
Gustafsson. Yeah.
I have no idea.
It looks so good that I actually asked for the recipe, which isn't, you know, I make good chili, but that shit looked hearty. It looked like there was everything in the fridge was chopped up and put in there.
Hearty.
It looked like Wendy's chili, if you guys know what Wendy's is.
I do know what Wendy's chili is.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
No.
It used to be pretty good, I bet. Did you enjoy it before your vegan days?
I was never crazy about it.
It's kind of bland.
You guys are such fucking naysayers.
Motherfucker.
I'm always the odd man out.
He asked, do you guys like it? No. Fuck you guys. Fucking assholes.
I didn't hate on it. I was never crazy. I was never crazy.
It's fast food chili, so it can't be that great.
You're like cold porridge.
When I still ate such things, I would have, even though most people would probably throw up in their mouth about this, I would have preferred Wiener Schnitzel chili over Wiener's chili.
Oh, God, no.
That's beanless chili.
That's not even chili.
That's con carne.
Con carne.
That's less the beans.
Yeah. The thing about that chili is when it comes out, it looks just
There's no difference. Yeah. There's no difference. Yeah. I
had some of that. I get the, you know, chili cheese dogs.
Yep. Mm.
I don't eat I take the dog out though.
What?
Like slide the dog out and just eat the cheese and the chili on the bun.
And you throw the hot dog away?
Yeah.
Do you do the pretzel bun?
I actually threw a hot dog at a bum one time.
What was his reaction?
He ate it.
That's what I was going to say. Was it like, yo, fuck you. Oh, thank you.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Tell this story.
No, he was standing outside Wiener Schnitzel. And what do you mean, no?
You threw a hot dog at a bum and he just ate it.
I flicked it at him and he picked it up and ate it.
I
was like, damn, he's really a bum.
Did he take out a latex glove and then?
No, he didn't flip me off with his latex glove. No, he didn't do that. He just bent down, picked up the hot dog and ate it and stared at me. And I was like, okay. Like, at least I helped him.
Just the dog, not the whole package.
No, I wouldn't do that. I ate the good stuff.
Brad's weird. He gets a double decker with no beans.
Yeah,
which is by definition what makes it a double decker. Like,
no,
that's the
matter. I like the soft shell on the hard shell, and it's good. It's good like that.
All right. I'm gonna quit arguing.
It's a texture. I'm a texture person.
Yeah.
You know, I like the texture of it. It's good.
Ribbed.
For her pleasure.
Yeah. Is that all?
That's all I got for Teco winners. Yeah, don't be retired.
I think we're done. It's hot. I'm out of here.
It is fucking with us. I think the heat and the testing of cameras is fucking with us.
I'm not worried about that. You're over there pressing buttons.
Yeah, every once in a while. I have no idea what it's doing. It might be doing nothing.
I'm actually doing a cooking show.
Brad's been staring at his face. I'll get a close up of Brad.
I'm fucking
eating cookies in the
meeting cookies, and I'm shiny as fuck. I look like a crystal ball.
Oh, you got no shine compared to me.
Mm-mm.
I got all the shine.
Mm-hmm.
Switch over to Dave's shine. All right, we should probably talk about the topic. Or new listeners.
Topic and
stuff. I was hoping to stretch this out longer and more awkward than it already has been.
Well, I'm eating a cookie and drinking a beer.
Oh, we didn't do our whiskey this week. This week's whiskey
is brought to you by
Kitty Cat Harrison. What is that?
It is brought to you. It is 291 single barrel Colorado whiskey from Kitty Cat Leaf and Kyle Hartsfield.
Yeah, they came to the meetup on the Sandrini's afternoon.
So it's two people, Kitty Cat Leaf.
It's three people. Kitty Cat is the
Leaf.
The woman that gave it to us. And then her husband is Leaf or Leif. And then what was the last one? Last guy's name? I have the bottle in my hand.
The bottle's right there in your hand.
Sorry, I'm trying to pour, man.
Kyle
was the friend that they brought along.
You have Kitty Cat.
She said Leaf she had a Pan's Labyrinth tunnel in her house or something that's full of masks. Yeah. You going for this, Brad? What's going on?
I don't have a glass.
What happened there?
Glass over there.
I used that glass. Hold on.
Oh, well.
It's. I haven't.
Big
I haven't.
Ass mixer glass.
I haven't tasted it, but I'm going to tell you, it smells floral and spicy.
All right, I'm ready.
You good?
Brad's polishing a dirty glass that's probably been sitting there for 3 months.
Here you go.
Sorry for all the silence. I'm just talking to talk right now to fill the air.
The silence is better than the show, I guess.
Fucking might be.
Did I drink out of the pour spout?
You're going to spill that shit. That looks like a beaker. Looks like you're drinking out of lab equipment.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Told you.
Every
no, it is spicy.
No, it's that actually, was a legit.
No, it's very spicy.
It's
spicy.
Good. It reminds me of something. I don't want to say this because it would ruin it. What's your opinion? You like it?
Spicy. It tastes like a southern whiskey. It tastes like a more unaged southern whiskey.
It reminds me of, but this sounds bad, but it's not. I like it, but for some reason, it's making me think of Cold Cock.
Nah.
No. I think it's the floralness.
No.
Am I miss?
No, it is very floral, but man, that is hot.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Oh, dang. I should have got Dave's face. Oh, maybe I did get Dave's face.
Like we say that joking about a lot of whiskeys.
But oh, you didn't get me pouring it.
No. Seriously.
Yeah. We need another person to press these buttons for sure.
Yeah.
We have professional audio equipment. No.
I'm just going to ignore that because it's bothering me. Like, yeah, I don't know what camera it's going to be on.
Yeah.
I'll hit.
Just put it on this.
Yeah. There. It's on that camera. All right.
So our topic today has, again, it's a much requested topic. If you're getting into conspiracy theories, this is one that you have to bump up against at some point. And it is the life and disappearance of Jimmy Fallon.
Yes. And he's the one who created the hot dog, the Hoffa dog.
Yes, the Hoffa dog. That's correct. But Jimmy Hoffa, the Teamster, the union leader,
he has his own night show.
Disappearance. Yeah, he does.
Night,
yep.
Yeah. Late night show.
Yep. So, and this was one going into it. I knew he had some shit to do with the mob. I knew he ran a labor union and I knew he disappeared. Like that was the extent.
I thought
of
he was
knowledge.
A gangster. I mean, which technically, but I just thought he was like a mob member. I had no idea. Anything. No, people probably laugh. Yeah. I had no idea about the union thing.
He was in politics kind of.
I mean, he had to have been if he got freaking pardoned by Nixon, but we'll get to that.
Who didn't get pardoned by Nixon?
Yeah, that's true. So Jimmy Hoffa, he was born in a lot earlier than I thought he was. He was born in 1913 in Indiana, in Brazil, Indiana.
What is that one? That's to add to your
the Brazil song.
La, da, 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 da.
Nope.
Do, 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 do.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to quit asking questions.
Brazil.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If we knew what it was, I think
you've never heard that song before?
I think you're bluffing.
You need to watch more Terry Gilliam movies.
Who the fuck is that? I'm not asking. I don't want to know.
I don't know who that is, okay. But that's funny.
He directed Brazil. He was a member of the Monty Python's Flying Circus. He was the only American python.
I'm going to take your word for it and avoid any further.
The American python?
Yeah. But he was born in Indiana to a fairly poor family. His father was a coal miner, and I didn't read what he died of, but I read that he died when Jimmy Hoffa was fairly young, and my assumption is he died
like
of
black lung.
Coal miner.
Yeah.
Like
hard-working black lung.
1920s or so, if you were a coal miner, you probably died of coal miner.
It's just like if you were a Chinaman working on the Great Wall.
You died of the Great Wall. Yeah, I think it's pretty, like the doctor.
Yeah.
You're going to do an autopsy on the Hoffa dad? Yep, coal miner.
Yep.
Died of coal miner.
Died of coal mining.
So, but then his mom had to step to the plate. I guess there were four kids, Jimmy and three siblings. And
she was a stripper.
Yeah, she was a stripper. A lot of pole dancing.
Trying to get through school.
But she
had a strip mine, though.
A strip mine. Yeah.
That's right.
She's at a strip mine.
It's not what you think. Yeah.
She moved to Detroit where there was work, and she started working and putting everybody through school and so forth. And I read that no one could really pin this down, which seems like bad historians to me, but they said they couldn't, no one could verify whether or not he made it as far as high school.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, really? Like, no one could verify that? There were no
crazy
records?
Things about, like,
yeah,
Castle times, and we don't know if he went to high school.
Yeah, he might have gone to high school, or he might have stopped before high school. But as a fairly young man, even if he did get into high school, he didn't graduate. Like, he stopped early in high school, and he started working on the loading docks in Detroit for a grocery store chain called Kroger, which doesn't exist in California.
Yeah, it does.
But it's Foodco. Do we have Kroger?
Foodco.
Oh, is that the same thing?
Foodco is Kroger.
Because Kroger's huge back in Michigan. Like, every other store was a Kroger. But he worked for Kroger on the loading docks, just like, you know, muscle on the loading docks. And within a short amount of time, when he was still a fairly young man, he ended up doing his first organized labor strike. And this is what he became known for, was for organizing, for being a union guy. And this, you know, this is at the time when, like, back in the day, back then, like, unions were getting busted by corporate goons with fucking batons breaking their heads open. And I mean, it was pretty gnarly stuff. Like, the, like, you going on strike and trying to form a union. It's like, right now they'll shut your Walmart down if you start a union, but back then they'd fucking come and break your knees. Yeah. So yeah, that you,
I watched the movie Hoffa, and God, there's like every actor in that. I watched it just for reference. It helps me, like, after, if I watch it and then do research, like, I tie the info to, like,
Hoffa?
An image. It was
Jimmy Fallon.
God damn, don't say shit. Jack Nicholas.
Nicholson.
Yeah, actor, not the golfer.
Golfer, okay.
Yeah. Nick Nolte.
I was just fighting fucking Jimmy Fallon.
Wait a minute.
So I was like, Jimmy Fallon, move out of my head.
So Arnold Palmer played Jimmy Hoffa?
Yes.
Arnold Palmer played Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The golfer.
Yes.
Okay.
But Danny DeVito's in that shit, like Joe Pesci. There's just like, there's tons of people in that.
All those guys are in the mob movies. Yeah.
He's Arnold's twin.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the part.
And the penguin.
He's the part that ran down his mom's ass crack and ended up as a stain on the sheet.
That's correct.
Got the bad genes.
That is
what's that? What's the movie? Cousin Vinny. That's a good movie. Wasn't he in that?
The Two Utes?
No.
That was Joe Pesci.
That was Joe Pesci.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's Pesci's little in that shit too, though.
He's little.
I think Pesci's in it.
Yeah.
He's a comedian on the stage at some point.
Bill Picante. So, yeah.
Bill Picante.
Yeah, he was in it.
Bill Picante.
Fuck you guys. I don't know what's going
on. From New York City.
Yeah.
You guys are making shit up now. Why do you guys know shit that I don't? Like, I'm pure stuff that you can...
We were making that last one up.
Yeah, I know.
There is no Bill Picante.
Yeah, duh.
That's, we didn't know we didn't know anything that you didn't know. Like, there was nothing to know.
Except the song Brazil.
Yeah.
Brad didn't know that shit.
Yeah, it's the movie Brazil, the song.
Dave said that.
No. I said it when he was singing it.
Saccabees.
The song Saccabees. Brazil.
The Saccabees.
Whatever.
No. So he,
Jim Saccabees was in that movie.
He was.
We're getting worse and worse.
So
somebody said they listened to the vaccine episode. It was like, I don't know. I asked them what they thought about the show or whatever. They picked the vaccine episode, and I was like, I can't listen to you guys. It's a bunch of unperpetrated truths, and I don't even know what
well,
she
said.
Well,
that's a highly, like, opinionated
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, yeah, she was just
that's flat
angry.
You're one side or the other for sure on that shit.
So Hoffa, who believed the earth was flat, when he was a young man, he ended up, so they were trying to strike, they were trying to unionize at Kroger, and they were trying to do union busting and not letting them, and he ended up organizing the first successful strike and getting Kroger unionized. And did you guys see what he used as a bargaining chip?
The crowbar.
Strawberries. Apparently, like, several trucks worth of strawberries had pulled into the Kroger loading yards.
Wouldn't let them
and
in.
They
oh,
weren't
because
refrigerated.
They would spoil.
And there was no refrigeration back then. And he was like, "We're not loading anything until you give us a union deal, and all of your strawberries are going to go bad." And they were like, "Fuck it, strike a union deal," because they were going to lose too much money on strawberries.
Hmm. Smart.
Yep. So he ended up getting.
Seems kind of petty.
The first thing. Yeah. Well, it worked. Don't try to. Fuck a man's strawberry. That's what we've learned there.
That's that saying. That's where that came from.
that's
don't
exactly
try and
where it
fuck
came
a man's
from.
Strawberry.
Yeah, that's the saying. You know that old straw.
Yeah.
but so he ends up joining the International Brother of Teamsters in 1930, and Teamster used to be a term for basically a teamster would drive a team of horses or a team of mules, so they would like carry goods around. They were like truck drivers before there was a truck, and they would have to run a team of animals. So that term ended up sticking around. And for a while, if you were a trucker, you were called a teamster, until truck became the dominant word, I suppose.
Mm. Truckster.
Yeah.
Truck face.
So the Teamsters Union was really a union of people who would load and unload docks and who would drive trucks places and move things around. And at the time, when he was doing this in the 1930s, the Teamsters weren't the biggest union. I mean, they had like branches every place. And he became the president of the Detroit chapter. And then within about 20 years, he was the vice president of the entire sort of national Teamsters thing. And by the end of World War II, there were over 1 million Teamsters, and it was becoming one of the largest labor unions in the United States.
It grew super fast. Yeah. It went from like 75,000 members in 1933. And I think it said it grew to 170,000 members a few years later. And then 3 years after that, 420,000 members. And then by 1951, it had reached 1 million members.
And it I mean, 1.5 at its peak.
A lot of that probably had to do with the building of the infrastructure. I mean, as more highways were connecting America, there would be more truckers,
driving strawberries around.
Yeah, and exactly. The success of like winning their requests, you know what I mean? Like as people were successful, people were scared in the beginning, you know what I mean? Like they're going to lose their job. And to stand against them like that, they literally would have to, they're not working. It's the whole thing you see at grocery stores where they call you a scab if you cross the line.
Right.
You had to sit there and not work and not feed your family and just hold strong until they gave to your demands.
Right.
That was a
that's a ballsy thing. And I know a lot of times unions now, if there's a strike, they actually will pay union members because the union dues and so forth. So they'll actually pay
union members to strike. Union's requiring you to strike, but because you're a union member, you have to. You don't have a choice.
But back then, like Dave was saying earlier, it was literally like fucking billy clubs and chains and shit.
Oh, yeah. It was
like
rough.
They would go march, and then like the fucking scabs would fight the union guys and they would send in fucking dudes to incite shit. It was a different deal.
So needless to say, there was immediately a violent criminal side to unions because you were fighting. I mean, you needed protection. So the unions tended to fall in with the mob because the mobsters would offer protection to the union members while they were striking, while they were trying to do stuff.
Well, Hoffa made a deal originally because he was interfering, like the putting the strike was interfering with mob business dealings that already existed. Mm. So he had a sit down.
Yeah, because they're fucking with businesses.
Yeah, right. He basically told them like, hey, well, if we get these guys on our side, like we'll pull these trucks into the warehouse and you can steal the shit.
Right.
So certain shipments would just get diverted. So they kind of struck a deal and they would divert certain funds and whatnot, pretty much got in bed with the mob.
And you'll still see, like, if you see mob movies, if you watch The Sopranos, whatever, it's like, I mean, there's like the mobster thing of, oh, it fell off a truck.
Right.
You know, oh, where'd you get that suit? It fell off a truck.
Yeah.
And it was because they would have, like, you would basically get a deal with one of the Teamsters and it would be like, you're going to drive your truck over here at midnight. Just get out. Act like we whooped your ass.
Yeah.
Here's $1,000. Go fuck off. And then they would take the truck and then sell everything that was in the back of the truck.
Well, it's one thing to have like, you know, inadequate wages and like poor working conditions. And obviously like the Teamster's motivation was to compensate the workers, give them a good working environment, you know, not overwork them. But then it kind of like they got super fucked because they have to now pay them more, work them less, change the conditions. And then now some of their trucks are getting fucking ripped off now.
Right.
They did the right thing, but now they're getting fucking whole trucks are disappearing.
Right.
You know?
So Hoffa ends up rising through the ranks and then apparently, so in 1952, he became the vice president of the Teamsters nationwide. And then in 1957, he became the president and he replaced a guy named Dave Beck. And Dave Beck got ousted from being in charge because he was tried and convicted for corruption in his union activities, which I think at the time, anyone high up in the union tended to get busted for corruption in their union activities.
It's probably almost a necessity of doing business. You have to do it. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to be successful at that level unless you're willing to play ball. Like you have to pay this guy off. They're doing hard cash loans. It's just what had to happen.
But
it
depends on the nature of the crime. And I didn't see too much about what Beck's crimes were. But when you start to get into some
probably the same as
the same kind of stuff that Hoffa did. Yeah. Because Hoffa's shit was pretty like, oh, that wasn't even for the union. You're just like cover your ass.
He was loaning the pension fund out, you know, on interest and whatnot. Yeah. So,
but you know, going
back in time a little bit. In the 30s, he married.
I hate it, but people love it. People love that shit.
He married. Yeah. He married a woman named Josephine Pozowak. And they ended up having two kids, Barbara Crancer, I'm guessing is her married name. And then James P. Hoffa was the son. And apparently James Hoffa Jr. became the head of the Teamsters Union.
It's a pretty good success story. Like, you know, Jimmy Hoffa worked at a fucking grocery store and started his whole union thing. The Josephine worked at like a laundromat or some shit, like a laundry service.
They were
service.
All blue collar workers.
Yeah, like right. A laundry just, service. But know. Then their daughter ends up being like the attorney general for Missouri. And then he ends up running the fucking whole, he's the president of the Teamsters. The Teamsters.
I wonder why.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so he's married and he, you know, he had the one wife the whole time, had two kids with her. But then going back up ahead in time, one of the biggest things that he did, which is what secured his power over the Teamsters, basically, was in 1961. He struck a deal that brought almost all truck drivers in North America under one contract, and it was called the National Master Freight Agreement. And this was like a huge thing, and it really cemented the Teamsters. It made them, that was when they were at their largest, it made them the most powerful labor union in the United States. And at that point, everybody's going to listen, right? I mean, you're going to have the ear of politicians, because if someone's running for Senate and the union endorses them, you've got all those votes.
They're like head to head with the White House. I mean, like,
oh yeah,
like the whole JFK and Robert Kennedy, which we had talked about in the JFK episode. It's weird. We had wondered why, because I think we talked about in the JFK episode, their dad was like, he ran booze,
right?
And so he had good ties with the mob. But then I think Hoffa had a personal thing against Robert Kennedy, and then eventually,
and vice versa,
yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah.
And then JFK eventually gets elected president, and then he appoints Robert Kennedy to
Attorney General,
and then
Robert Kennedy aggressively pursues.
And he's like, "Fuck this!" They actually had to like get Hoffa was the name of the thing or right. something like that.
Well, yeah. and you got to think too, like the whole JFK assassination. We talked a little bit about the mob killing JFK.
Right.
This all ties into that.
Yeah, you know,
Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, one of the big theories is that it's because of Hoffa.
Yeah, you know, which so and it all makes sense if does. You start looking at everything. It really does make sense.
So, but throughout this, they start trying to throw the book at Jimmy Hoffa, which is pretty easy to do when the FBI and the president's brother and everybody are like going over your shit with a fine tooth comb. But they keep finding crimes that he committed, and for years they keep trying to prosecute him, but everything keeps getting overturned. Like nothing will stick.
Right.
For all through the early 60s. And then finally in 1964, and these, I kept reading different dates because I think some of them I think might have referred to the date the crime was committed versus when the trial happened. At some point they found him. There was a 1962 case that got dropped that was trying to get him for federal trial conspiracy. So in 1962 they tried to bust him for tampering with a trial, and a federal jury ended up convicting him in 1964 for accepting illegal payments from a trucking company and doing all this. Basically, he got arrested for trying to cover up a trial that he got busted for trying to fix.
Yeah.
So it's like this.
He was pretty invincible for a long time, though. It's so many connections. He even got deferred from being like drafted to World War II because he said his role in the union was so important as far as keeping transportation moving to support the war effort.
Right.
Yeah. So he didn't even have to go to war.
Right.
Like he got to just maintain his position because he said he was so important. It was justified.
Right.
Yeah.
And then but ultimately they busted him because in a case about him trying to rig a trial, he rigged the trial.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, they busted him for having rigged the trial on the case of him rigging a trial.
Yeah.
So but I think a lot of the other stuff, it was easier to wash over because he had so many connections and because you could probably get away with this argument of there's no other way to do business, whatever. But when it came to this, it was like, no, you fucking tried to bribe members of the jury personally. Like this wasn't a union thing. He was much more on his own on this one. And then this is what he ends up getting convicted for. But again, he's got so much clout that he gets convicted in 1964
for this crime, and he doesn't go to prison until 1967.
Well, if you know the system, like I think he appealed.
Right. Yeah, he keeps appealing and doing all this stuff, but
he's probably out on bail.
Yeah, he's out. So he's out for three more years, but then eventually it doesn't work. And he ends up doing he gets convicted for a 13-year sentence starting in 1967. But in 1971, Nixon didn't pardon him. He commuted the sentence. So Nixon basically looked and said, like, time served is enough, let him out. So he wasn't ever pardoned for the crime, which I guess is a legal distinction.
Yeah.
He wasn't pardoned, but the sentence was commuted to time served and he was let out, but with the agreement that he wouldn't be in charge of the union again for 10 more years. So
there's some super tricky stuff behind that, obviously. So the IBT, which is the Teamsters, mm-hmm. They endorsed Nixon's campaign.
And I guess Nixon was supporting.
They were probably on the thing of like, hey, we'll support you if you get him out of jail.
There was an estimated payment to Nixon, some of the estimates were as high as $1 million.
Damn.
To Nixon himself.
Dr. Evil shit.
And they think that the restrictions, so part of the condition of him being let out on time served, I guess he was eligible for parole in like 6 months. He didn't know. They were just like, we're going to get you out. He thought strings are just getting pulled. He's got mob ties. The Teamsters are so in bed with everyone. They're paying off the president of the United States
right.
to pull strings to get him pardoned, to say time served. And basically they had endorsed the election and paid him the separate funds. When he gets out, though, he goes back to give a speech at the Teamsters and finds out that like he can't be involved for like 10 years till his sentence would have been complete. So though they pardon him and let him free, he can't actually be involved in the Teamsters. And the reason is,
well, officially though.
Yeah. Because this is what happens when he leaves, he puts someone like, I can't remember the guy's name, Fitzsimmons or something.
Yeah. It's Fitzsimmons.
Yeah. He appoints someone that was like loyal to him to be in charge while he's in prison. That guy's loyal for some time, but begins to distance himself from Hoffa and kind of relinquishes his power, where when Hoffa was around, he was the guy. He like called the shots, kind of mafia status.
Right.
When Fitzsimmons takes over, he sort of relinquishes power and sort of distributes it.
But it also gets into some of the crazy shit, because Frank Fitzsimmons was apparently in bed with Anthony Provenzano,
right,
who was a Teamster from New Jersey, he wasn't a member of the Genovese crime family, but he worked for the Genovese crime.
Some of the theories are like Hoffa had become so powerful that even the mobsters were like, no, like
fuck this.
Part of this condition is going to be that he can't be involved,
right?
Because it would interfere with the business dealings that they have established while he's in prison. They didn't want he's out of the picture, keep him out of the picture. So although he was like, Hoffa's pissed, he's like, I can't be part of the thing. He thinks this one guy did it. But really, some of the theories are that the mob had imposed those and coerced the Teamsters to work that whole deal out.
Right.
That he can't be involved.
So that's so, right. Yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, and basically.
And what's he going to do? He's been a teenager. You know what I mean? Like, since he's a teenager, this is what he does.
Right.
He's passionate about it.
And apparently, I mean, basically by the through the chain of command, the new guy in charge of the Teamsters, Fitzsimmons, who basically works with Provenzano. And if they're working together and he's the head of the Teamsters, like by default, the Teamsters are in the pocket of the Genovese crime family from New Jersey. So he doesn't have the mob endorsement anymore. It's shifted to someone else. And I would imagine that goes a long way to you staying alive.
Well,
what's
for a little while.
Yeah.
What's Rob Van Dam's signature move? Because whatever it is, we're all subject to it. If he ever
He would come down here and hit us with a 5-star frog splash for sure.
5-star frog splash. What is that?
Oh, and then you laugh at him?
Oh, I have no doubt. Wrestling and jiu-jitsu aside, that motherfucker is acrobatic and would fucking slam the shit out of me.
You jump off the top rope. Spread your arms and legs out like a frog.
Flying squirrel.
Jumping through the air.
Oh, like a star.
And then you just land
Patrick
you
pump. You got to pump, though.
You pump.
Like in a flying squirrel.
You go down, pump. Yeah.
You land basically torso to torso on the person who's on the mat, and it looks like it hurts like fucking hell.
Yeah. Choreographed or not, that fucking hurts.
That would hurt. Like you're gonna have a fucking 250-pound man jump and put all of his weight torso to torso. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Everyone's lost right now. They're like, who the fuck is Rob Van Dam?
He's our mob expert. Yeah.
So
he's our one expert we have.
He's our mob expert. He'd be telling us everything we're saying wrong about every single one of these people right now, by the way. If you haven't listened to the episode with Rob Van Dam on it, we have two of them. One of them, we just kind of talked to Rob about Rob and professional wrestling. But on the other one, we talk about the mob, and the man is a fucking living encyclopedia.
It was like a long line of pizza toppings. It was just like
provolone cheese and the fucking,
like he was eight levels deeper than anything in my notes with no notes, and it was fucking unbelievable.
There was just salami on the table and we didn't know where it came from. We all had mustaches that looked like fucking black brooms.
Rob, it's me, Dave. It got crazy. So anyway, so all of this together kind of ties into various theories. So here's the facts of his disappearance. And at that point, we get into nothing but theories and speculation. So on July 30th, 1975, he's living just outside of Detroit, and he heads to a place called the Red Fox Restaurant for a 2 o'clock meeting. That's supposed to be involve a discussion of how he can get back involved with the Teamsters.
And so to lead into that, it wasn't so like, hey, let me get back involved. It's that he's fucking furious. He has a meeting with his mob ties and says, like, you need to take care of this. And like, we can't touch it. We can't be involved. And he's like, I'll take care of myself kind of thing.
Right.
And then finally he sends a message to them that basically if they don't fucking like kill this guy or fix this thing, he's going to go to the press, and he threatens the mob.
Oh shit. I didn't know that.
And everybody wonders why he disappeared.
Yeah. Like,
this is like, I don't understand. Like, what happened to Jimmy Hoffa? Well, the mob got rid of him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's simple.
So he was supposed to meet, according to notes that he had and even things that he said with his wife, he was supposed to meet with Anthony Giacalone, who was a Detroit mobster.
That guy smelled great.
Yeah. Anthony Provenzano, who was the head of the Teamsters in New Jersey.
That guy tasted great.
Yeah. And apparently they did time together. Provenzano and Hoffa were in jail together at the same time. Apparently they didn't get along all that well ever, but they kind of had a political alliance just because they were both Teamsters or whatever.
Well, Hoffa liked Provenzano's handmade sausages.
Mm-hmm.
He loved them.
That's actually how we know he tasted great. It's like they got his journal from prison.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. He ends up supposedly going to a meeting with these two people. He's supposed to meet them at 2 o'clock at the restaurant. Apparently he calls his wife from a payphone at 2:15 and says, nobody showed up. I'll be home shortly. I read one account that said that at about 2:30, he called a friend of his and said that no one showed up at the meeting, but I didn't read that anywhere else. And I didn't get the name of the friend he supposedly called. So I don't know if that's apocryphal or not, but I know all accounts are that he called his wife at 2:15, which I don't, is that. And so apparently, I guess I was just confused because like the accounts are that he called his wife and that he was like super pissed that he got stood up. And I don't know that at 15 minutes, I'm in the super pissed category.
I'm having what I read in the movie mixed up because in the movie he waits for like fucking 4 hours. But I don't know.
The stuff that I read was that he was supposed to meet at 2 and that he called his wife.
When you're like at that level, you're fucking Hoffa. Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
I guess that's true.
You better be fucking 1 minute late.
I think he thought he was bigger than he was.
Maybe.
He kind of was that big though.
Not after prison.
Yeah, not once he got out.
Yeah. Well, how did he have the fall from
He didn't have any power.
You know what I mean? Right.
Like he was fighting the White House.
That's what I'm saying.
And talking shit to Robert Kennedy before he went to prison.
Right.
So when after, you come back out,
he has nothing.
Right.
He still feels 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Absolutely.
You think Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson don't feel like they were badasses? Like, after the fact, like tons of people could whoop Mike Tyson's ass now, but he still feels like Mike Tyson is
4 foot tall and soft like a banana.
Mike Tyson whoop your ass, Brad.
Come on, Hoffa.
Huh?
Come on. I'm talking about Hoffa.
I just wanted to hear you claim you could beat Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson gets ass whooped. He's little.
No. You think you could beat Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
What are you,
not boxing?
Prince?
I'll smother his ass.
Are you thinking of Gary Coleman?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I think you're confused. It's a different black guy.
I'll throw a pigeon at his face.
He loves pigeons.
He'll be distracted, and then I'll smother him.
I'll just throw a fucking hoverboard at his feet.
Oh yeah, he can't make it. Fuck his backup.
Did you see the
no?
Video? Apparently, Brent hasn't seen the hoverboard.
He got one of those for his kids for Christmas.
The little rolly, like the two wheeled like fucking deal.
30-second clip of him
smashes.
Just eating shit on
his fucking
in his living room.
Feet up to the ceiling, lands on his back, fucks him up.
It's pretty awesome. Anyway,
dude, I watched a 350-pound man at one of my jobs one time step onto a rolling flat cart that you used to like fucking like haul 20 bags of cat litter.
Try to skate it.
He fucking, I was on the phone and he comes up and he's like, looked at me like he's going to ask me a question. And I just give him the nod like I'm on the phone as soon as I'm done. And he fucking steps on the flat cart. That flat cart fucking went whoop out from under him. 350-pound man. He's like 6'4". His fucking feet went to the fucking ceiling, dude, and he landed on the concrete, and the noise that it made when he fucking hit the ground, I just went, I have to go.
Yeah. So just like, picture fuck. That being Mike Tyson, and that's what happened.
Yeah. I was the manager at the time, too. I was like, fuck, like, that's my friend, and fuck, like, accident report, work shit.
Go fun. Over with the he was eraser.
Fine. He was fine, though. Yeah,
117 days without injury.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. He survived it. No problems.
It's like Fukushima. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Fukushima, I just read an article yesterday that was pretty fucking crazy. And it said that the Yakuza is forcing people who owe them money to go to Fukushima for cleanup.
Oh, that sucks.
I saw smoke's coming out of Chernobyl. Did you guys see that one?
No, that can't be good.
There's reports of smoke coming out of the fucking reactor.
Didn't they finish the big dome over it?
I don't know.
One, it's still running, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still, it's still making power. Yeah, it's still melting down.
Yeah, reports of smoke coming out of Chernobyl. I was like, God damn. Well, that's not going away.
The Yakuza will handle it.
Yeah. Putin will be sending people that owes him money to Chernobyl for cleanup.
So so he ends up, he's never heard from again. The police find his car in the parking lot right where he allegedly parked it. And this is where all the accounts start to differ and different theories start to come up. So I've got a couple of different theories and facts and witnesses. I don't know if there was one that you guys wanted to start with or take.
The alleged like story that I read was that there's a couple hitmen. What was the one you're saying,
Frank Schran?
Yeah, that guy had admitted in someone's book in an interview to assassinating him in a house in Detroit.
Yes. Yeah, they picked him up to go to the meeting. And then
they picked him up in some car that they later identified. There's even some corroborated like DNA evidence that they had one of his hairs off of a brush.
So this is Frank Sheeran, and he was
Ed Sheeran's great grandfather.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
People do.
He was was Irish, but he worked for the Italian mob as a hitman.
That's perfect. He's Irish. That's perfect.
They called him the Irish. What was he? The Irishman? What did they call him? That's why I was trying to remember his name.
But there's a book. So basically, all of the accounts of what Sheeran did apparently come from his lawyer, a guy named Charlie Brandt. And he confessed all these things to Charlie Brandt. And Charlie Brandt, after Sheeran died, wrote a book called I Hear You Paint Houses, because that was like a slang term for being a hitman.
Yeah. How many
houses have you painted? And he'd say, like, apparently at the time he had painted 25 houses.
Yeah. That means the blood from your head onto the wall.
Right. So but he was apparently good friends with Hoffa.
Right.
Yeah. Like Hoffa met him. Hoffa was friends with him and all this stuff. And in the accounts that Sheeran gave, actually a quote from the book is Sheeran said, quote, I'll be a Hoffa man. And this is about as mobster as it gets. I'll be a Hoffa man till they pat my face with a shovel and steal my cufflinks.
Damn.
Nice.
So he was pretty pro Hoffa.
Pat my face with a shovel.
But when the boss says you got to do it, you got to fucking do it. Like, welcome.
You don't turn against them.
No.
If Goodfellas and Sopranos is anything to do with like the real thing, it's like brothers killing brothers.
Yeah.
When the dollar amount's right, or somebody fucking snitched on somebody, that's how it goes. Yeah.
Well, when you're a mob hitman and they tell you like, hey, this is your hit.
Right.
You go and kill that person.
Right, exactly.
Like, regardless of who it is.
But apparently like Sheeran always rode in the back passenger side. Like anywhere he went when there was somebody else, like if there's somebody else in the car, that was always his spot.
So he sat in a different spot.
And he sat in a different spot on purpose, because he said later to his lawyer that he was hoping it would make Hoffa go, what the fuck? And like maybe make him suspicious and try to make a run for it or do something, because he couldn't say anything. He couldn't do anything. So Hoffa ended up sitting back there, which ends up becoming important later. Because like you said, that was where they find hair.
Right.
Which in 2001
or something.
Well, the car was, I mean, everything was impounded. They had the hair already as evidence, because even right after the disappearance, they had police bloodhounds
led
them to this car.
Yeah,
he was a suspect.
Yeah. But that the car belonged to Charles Chucky O'Brien or whatever, which was his friend, which means he could have been in the car before anyway.
It was his friend, but it wasn't just his friend. It said that it was like the equivalent of his adopted son.
Oh, damn.
Like he was under Hoffa's wing since he was a young man. So it's like one of his best friends and his like quote unquote adopted son pick him up in this burgundy Mercury Marquis, according to the witnesses, because one of the witnesses said they recognized Hoffa and this other guy who was always with Hoffa.
Yeah.
And that ended up being the O'Brien guy. And maybe that's why they killed him. He was hanging out with nothing but Irishmen and just trying to be an Italian mobster. Yeah. But so apparently he drives off in this car. And according to Sheeran, he ended up taking him to a house nearby and shot him.
Drug him into the kitchen, body bagged him up.
Yep.
And then there was a reporter that started investigating this in 2004, mm-hmm. I think. And they ended up tearing up the floorboards of the house and finding blood and the blood pattern.
Yeah.
And all matched.
They sprayed luminol to make all the blood glow.
But I thought they said it didn't match Hoffa's blood, though.
No, it did.
They said they couldn't tell.
Yeah.
From what I read, they couldn't get a match on the blood.
Yeah.
But that the pattern completely matched everything that Sheeran described had happened, which then again, Sheeran
could have been anybody else, too.
He could have killed anybody else and claimed it was Hoffa. But all of the stuff that he accounted for. So all of the evidence tends to point towards Sheeran, to be honest. The DNA in that car, the blood spatters, like all that stuff kind of point to him. And he even said, he said to his own daughter, Sheeran did, apparently he confessed a lot of this stuff to his daughter because like late in life, because he said he needed absolution.
You know what,
he felt bad because Hoffa was a friend of his.
Yeah. And the other thing too, though, he could have let him go, you know, where Hoffa just didn't make him disappear.
Sure.
But you would think that the mob would want like a proof, souvenir or proof.
Something, yeah. So well, no, because that is one of the theories, is that he didn't die at all and he got out of the country.
Yeah.
Which right makes sense.
Which they determined it was not Hoffa's blood, but that's what I'm
remembering. Oh, really? I hadn't seen that. So, but again, like if your best friend and your adopted son pick you up, like that could speak to we're getting you the fuck out of here. Like true. 10 minutes from now, a team's showing up and they're going to pat your face with a shovel.
There might've been a third guy, and that's the guy they killed at the house.
Maybe there was a
on the grassy knoll.
The witnesses all said that there were three people plus Hoffa in the car.
Yeah. There's a truck driver that almost collided, I guess, with the car as it took off. And he said he saw
how ironic
people sitting in the back seat. Well, in the movie, they
strawberries.
Portray it as a truck pulls up.
Yeah. You can't, the movie's been, I'm just drama. Saying. Yeah. Though.
Well, like, they said, like, I read a thing about inaccuracies, because I always try to check that, and it says the things that were incorrectly portrayed was just like the name of the restaurant, some like a couple affiliations and some things that, for the most part, except for the last part, it's obviously speculation. But what I'm getting at is the truck that pulls up or whatever in the movie, they shoot him in the car, pull the car straight into the back of the truck and then bail out. And he takes off in a like Teamsters truck, which would be ironic. You know, they go driving down the highway to hide his body somewhere.
Yeah.
So. And apparently, I forget who they're making I Hear You Paint Houses into a film. And I want to say Scorsese is supposed to be.
Yeah, it's like supposed to be 2017 in January this year. They were supposed to have started filming, but supposed probably to start, not.
But I don't know. But
I heard they were casting David Hasselhoff.
He'd be a good fit. Yeah.
No. He'd be a good fit.
David Hasselhoff. Yeah.
Let the Photoshop come in.
Yes. How is that not going to happen?
That's fantastic. Yeah. So the other thing, did you guys, so the official federal account, right? So that's one account. That's the account that comes from Sheeran and from the book, I Hear You Paint Houses.
There's a movie called The Irishman coming out in 2018.
Maybe that's
so
it.
That might be it.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoffex memo.
Yeah. It says, yeah, based on the, I heard you paint houses.
Yeah. Book, so they must have changed it. Doesn't say who's directing.
I think I hear you paint houses is a way better.
Way better title.
Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Bobby Cannavale, Joe Pesci, Harvey Keitel. Yeah. Robert De Niro is the Irishman.
Bunch of fucking no names in that movie. Yeah. No, that's funny because I actually heard that Scorsese was directing a movie with like all of those guys in it. I didn't know it was this story. That's crazy.
I wonder when they get to do something cool like that, if they're even picky about what they get paid. They're like, ah, fuck it. Are you doing it, Robert? All right.
I'll do at that point, they're probably
getting, they're getting paid.
Yeah. Oh, they're getting paid, but it's like, it's probably like, oh, fucking Scorsese's doing it. I'm in. Like, yeah, whatever.
Exactly. We'll just fucking, it's based we'll off of a, probably a cool ass book.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So the federal version, the account that the feds actually support, and this
we trust them.
Yeah, we trust them. But this came from a thing called the, and you can find all of it online, a thing called the Hoffex memo, which came from the Hoffex convention or something, where the feds got together, put all their evidence together and tried to come to a conclusion, not necessarily saying this is a prosecutable thing, but because we don't have the evidence to string it all together, but this is what we think happened based on everything that we've gathered. So they, again, a lot of it overlaps. They said that he got picked up by his foster son, Charles Chucky O'Brien. He was driving the Burgundy Mercury. They believed that Frank Sheeran was in the car and that they got him in there. And at this point, things change, though. They don't think that Sheeran killed him. They said that they thought that they drove him to a house and that a lieutenant from that worked for Provenzano called Salvatore Sally Bugs Bruguglio.
Jesus fucking Christ. Sally Bugs.
Sally
fucking
Bugs.
Googly eyes.
Julia. Julia.
Salvatore Julia. Sally Bugs Bruguglio.
Sally Bugs?
Sally Bugs.
Sally is that two words? Like Salad?
Sally Bugs. Salad. His first name is Salvador. So Sally.
Salad Bugs.
So Sally Bugs.
Salad Bugs Googly Eyes.
Salad Bugs Googly Eyes. Very, it's an Italian name.
Yeah. Hey, Salad Bugs Googly Eyes. Look at that guy. So, which guy are you talking about? I see two of them.
The one with the googly eyes.
Yeah, the fucking googly eyes.
So Salad Bugs.
Did you Google that guy?
Supposedly shot him dead. They think that a guy named Gabriel Bruguglio, Sal's brother, Christ. And Thomas Andretta, who was another teamster, and possibly another one named Stephen Andretta, Thomas's brother, ended up getting rid of the body. And they speculate what happened. They think they either chopped it up, put it in a 50-ton drum, 50-ton barrel. They dropped him into a 55-ton barrel. They dropped him into a 55-gallon barrel. Yeah, and
55,000-pound barrel.
Yes, and buried it in a landfill that the Genovese family owns in New Jersey. Some people speculated that they buried him, which I think is just romantic, but they speculate that they buried him under Giants Field.
Yeah, and Mythbusters did a thing on
finding they dug
Hoffa.
Up the hole.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't dig it up, but they did like ground.
They did like, like radar in the ground to
which
see
it
if there was
which could be
under
the stadium, but I guess they tore that stadium down or something.
Yeah, and they still didn't find anything.
Which would they? I mean, that's a fucking huge amount of area. Did they really look?
I don't know. They found fucking shit in 9/11.
True. But they were looking.
But they did, and they did a lot of chemical analysis of the soil, and
that didn't happen.
They didn't find any they didn't find any evidence in the stadium of decomposed human flesh in the soil, which you can do chemical tests for.
Just in the bathroom.
In one spot? Can you picture an entire footprint of a stadium when it was torn down?
They didn't
chemical test all the soil.
Yeah,
there's no fucking way.
You've never seen CSI.
You think that they're lying?
Yes.
Huh.
And tigers and bears, oh my.
Oh my. So they, I was trying to see, they also think that, he was driven to a farm where Sally Bugs might've killed him.
Googly Eyes Ranch
might have killed him.
Is that the Tony Zarelli one?
No, that's a different one. But so the official account that the feds came up with in, I forget what year they even did this,
while
ago, it seems like a lot of it matches up with
what happened,
the Irishman's testimony of what happened. It's right. Just that the Irishman didn't kill him. It was Sally Bugs who killed him.
Why would
to the feds?
Why would the hitman not kill him?
Maybe they didn't ask him to because they knew we were friends.
But, why would he lie about killing?
They probably do that shit on purpose just for a test of loyalty.
Good question. But yeah, so the other one was Tony Zarelli, who in, I forget what year, it was fairly recently, it was in the 2000s, and he claimed that...
2013.
So former U.S. attorney and the chief of the Eastern District of Michigan's Organized Crime Strike Force, a guy named Keith Corbett. Of them.
Keith.
He said there are very few people, if any, who would be more likely to know about Hoffa's disappearance than Zarelli. So Zarelli was apparently the head of the Detroit organized crime family from 1970 to 1975. So if anyone knew that Hoffa was getting killed in Detroit in 75, Zarelli didn't necessarily order it. He didn't do it because he was in prison at the time. But the argument is that if anyone knows what
that's
happened,
that's one you'd have to call in for sure.
Yeah.
Whatever your rank was, that's going to the top.
Yeah.
Where you're knocking off Hoffa.
And he said in 2013 that he knew where Hoffa was, like where he was buried. And based upon him saying that, they went and they like completely dug up all this area looking for the body, exactly where he said it was and all this stuff. But there was nothing there.
In Oakland County, Michigan. Yeah. Some gray.
But another thing that I saw, though, said that Zarelli had said that they buried him in a shallow grave because there was a lot of heat on, and the plan was to go back later, dig him up, and then bury him someplace else.
Right.
So if that is the case, then he might have known where the first gravesite was, and if they did dig him up and move him, he didn't know where the second gravesite
was. I think he was still alive. I think he went to Argentina.
With Hitler?
Hung out with Hitler.
Yeah. You don't think he went to Tupac Island?
No. No, I think he went... No. He's not welcome there. They don't like fucking...
Teamsters.
Yeah, they don't like Teamsters.
Yeah, I don't think there's any black people in the Hoffa movie.
No.
Mm-mm. Probably racists. But yeah, so all of this again comes back to this idea that
I don't think there's an extra. I'm trying really hard to scan that.
It's like somebody at the store, like in the back.
Like crowd scenes and all kinds of shit. And
there had to be one black guy in there.
Man.
There wasn't a guy in a phone booth who said, "Say, Jim, that's one bad outfit." Mm-hmm. Woo!
Yeah.
Uh-uh. That didn't happen.
Not even with a broom.
That's a bad man pajama.
That might have been Superman the movie.
Not even with the broom. There's no black bums.
Mm-mm.
No.
Bums have brooms.
I don't know. I was just saying, there's no black bums.
No, there wasn't.
Nobody walking.
I don't think there's any black people in that movie.
In Detroit? This is strange.
I'm not saying it's accurate.
You based all your research off of it.
No.
Lies.
No, I promise.
So anyway, yeah. So the one of the ideas was with the JFK thing, and it's not a fucking like offhanded thing. Like you instantly hear, oh, Hoffa had something to do with JFK's death, and you just instantly put on fucking conspiracy theory tinfoil hat and try to deflect it.
I don't think so.
But in 1979, there was the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which got together, and again, their evidence all indicated that JFK was killed by the mob, and in their report, they specifically named Jimmy Hoffa as one of the reasons that he would have been killed because of the pursuit of Hoffa and the mob that Bobby Kennedy was involved in, and that was why they did it. So it's not just merely speculation. There was a massive Senate committee that investigated and met on it, and they specifically said it was the mob, and they but then again, if the government was involved in the killing, then you just get a dummy committee to say something.
Yeah, else. In the JFK episode, I think we talked about it, but I don't know if Morris came out on it. But yeah, I think it makes sense that the mob killed JFK. I mean, they were killing
everybody. Makes much sense as anything else. Yeah. Why not?
Just Hoffa put all that. He had the heat from fucking Robert Kennedy on him, and he's got ties to the mob, and they probably killed Hoffa because of the interference with that. I bet they just took the threats as like, that's an idle threat, you know? And look how they were in bed with like fucking Nixon. Like, you know, obviously they paid off Nixon
to
let Hoffa out. Like
if you're not doing anything for the mob anymore, they don't give a fuck about you. You know, like they'll just kill you.
Yeah.
Like who cares?
Just fuck face.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Patch your face with a shovel.
You become an FFP and you're getting padded. So what's your take on the
Hoffa? My take is we need a new battery in this laptop. It is exploding.
Oh, is it swollen right now?
Swole the fuck.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that doesn't have to be in there. When did that happen?
I don't know, but
oh, because it's just been unplugged.
Fucking lifted as fuck.
Between episodes, you fucking.
It's always plugged in.
I know. Between episodes right now, I'm saying when we stop, let's take that motherfucker out so you don't have burn face.
Take it out. Okay. At least we'll catch it on. You know, my thing is if I get hurt, I always want it caught on camera.
Oh, it'll
get,
we'll
it's on
it.
Camera right we'll now. I will be on fire.
Right now. Yeah. It'll be good.
It'll flare up.
I'm totally going to use a spoon because I don't have a screwdriver down here. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That seems legit.
That's fine.
That's legit. Bash it on the table.
Right. So my thought is, to assume that the fucking mob didn't kill him, like, why would you? Like, give me a break. I'm surprised the mob didn't fucking kill him sooner.
Yeah.
Like, he was in a mob killing line of work.
Yeah.
Like, that's just kind of...
His best friend was a hitman.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Exactly.
When your best friend's a hitman, is it that hard to believe... That the mob killed you.
Right.
No, yes. Everybody around you has a fucking middle nickname. Yeah. Charles Chucky O'Brien. Yeah.
Right.
Fucking
salad bugs, googly eyes. Fucking
like Julia. Yeah.
There was
Macaroni Machiavelli.
There was one guy that was called a really weird name. His name was Rye the Amish Raper Amick.
Jesus Christ.
And he was a hitman.
Jesus Christ.
He knew Hoffa as well.
He was the Amish Raper?
That sounded familiar for a second, but yeah.
Rye the Amish Raper Amick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
Like that might have
He was super conservative when he raped you, though.
Yeah,
he covered all your parts.
He didn't
yeah, he just made a little slit where he needed to get in.
He did it on a plain wood table with no varnish.
Himself.
Yeah, he made it himself.
Covers the legs.
Whittled it with a knife. Yeah,
but now that I think about it, that guy might not have been a hitman. He might have been one of our patrons.
Oh, maybe. Or he's just a rapist.
One of the two.
Yeah. Or both. Could be a combination of both. We don't know him that well.
Yeah.
I think he had a snazzy tuxedo and shit. He looked like a mobster last week when we checked him out.
Yeah, that's true.
You got anything to say to anyone?
I'm shiny.
I'm shiny too. Sponsors?
You're really shiny.
Is that sponsor time?
Yeah.
All right. So we need to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. My fucking headphones are blowing up. I need new headphones.
When you said sponsor time, hammer time just started playing in my head.
Hammer jammer time.
Hammer time.
No, that's not that good. Usually you guys have that whole Sanford and Son thing going on where I'm impressed. Fucking white guy, black guy thing. Like,
well, at least you're impressed at us sometimes because we're never impressed with you.
Thanks. So.
The other problem was we were both doing two totally different MC Hammer songs.
Yes.
Well, let's try again.
I was doing Here Comes the Hammer.
Yep. And I was doing,
Here Comes the Hammer.
I don't know. It's not that good.
Too legit. Too legit to quit.
Hey. All right. I accept that one.
Hey.
So.
Dun, 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 dun.
Check out El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can get it on their website. You can go to their gear store and buy Teco swag. You can find them on Amazon at your grocery store. Go get some if you haven't tried it. Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. They sell printed goods. You can get 1,000 copies of your resume in bulk if you're really looking for a job. Yeah. Check them out and use code SOFAKING to save
flyers,
doing it.
Flyers of your dead grandma.
Just flyer your resume out. No one's ever done that, probably. You go to Walmart and put your resume on everyone's windshield.
Yep.
You could do that
if
you want.
I got hired.
Yeah, I got...
in full color.
Yeah, I got...
Duplexed.
Missing posters of my grandma. And I posted them up all over town.
Did you really do that? I know your grandma went missing.
Yeah, but she's dead now, though. I did this a couple weeks ago.
Your dog got away at the same time you put both flyers up?
No, I just put reward so people would be looking for her.
Did you really make a grandma flyer?
No.
Your grandma really went missing, though.
Yeah, like fucking 4 years ago.
I don't care how long ago it was. I'm asking when it occurred.
Fucking Jimmy Hoffa-er.
When it occurred, did you make flyers?
No, she was with the Irishman.
How long was she gone?
I don't know. A night? She called me at 2:15 in the morning.
Did you think about making flyers?
No.
Why do we do that for a cat and a dog and not for grandma?
No, I don't know. I didn't make a flyer. Put a Facebook thing out.
All right. Well, if you need t-shirts, you can talk to...
They found her in a field, though.
DeLeon Graphics. I know. Covered in pee in a car. It was a sad story.
It was. That's the truth.
That's what I'm saying. I thought maybe you really made flyers.
The thing I love about this right now is the listeners have no idea if we're being serious or not.
Brad's grandma really did take off because she was like fucking senile and crazy.
Dementia.
Yeah. She fucking wandered off and they found her in a field in a car, like peed on herself all sad.
She was having strokes in the car, Brent.
I know. It's fucked up, man. Sorry.
Why are you laughing?
I'm on camera. I wasn't laughing. I might have grinned really big. My eyes might have smiled a little bit. Yeah, De Leon graphics and stuff. The shirts are in my possession. We have to fold them, pack them, and ship them. The UFO shirts is what I'm talking about. So thank you for your patience. I will get those shipped this week. I will stay late.
Whatever
I
got
to do to get them in a bag. Nope, this week. So thank you to Chris. Thank you to Cess for designing those. And thank you to Chris for printing them. They look great. And thank you to everyone for the support, for buying them and being patient. So that's De Leon graphics. Thank you to Digital Creations for our mugs. I got a couple things planned with that. I posted that Buckface peasant mug that looks like Run DMC. So, and then I'm working on possibly maybe a UFO mug. I'll post that up later. Thank you to Digital Creations for that. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Go like and follow them. A couple of people have been buying stuff. We had the Jets mug orders last week and got those shipped out. So if you want a custom mug, she can make some silly stuff.
And we're also doing another pre-order on shirts. You can get the UFO shirt only for a limited time through this next week. So if you order by Friday,
don't say that. That's not true. It's not on the website. That is not a thing. No. Yeah, but if you want a mug, like,
or a shirt, you can go to the website and
I was thinking like the two towers, and then if you pour hot coffee in it, like smoke will come out of the top of it.
Oh, nice!
So it looks like they're on fire, or like Waco, Texas rubble. Mm. No, is that too much?
Yeah.
Yep.
Waco, Texas rubble. This is the Oklahoma City bombing. It's like the face of the building, and then like as the cup fills up, it falls off.
Yeah, it falls off, and then steam comes out the top. Damn,
there's like dead kids on the bottom of the cup.
That's you went too far. That's too much.
That's what
Thank
happened.
You to Dan Camrio Jiu Jitsu. Speaking of dead kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can log it to armhunter.com for instructional DVDs and apparel. And that's all we got for sponsors this week.
Wait, what are we doing? I don't know. Patreon people can wait.
You're going to get them next week? Just talk shit to one of them.
Hmm?
No?
I don't know. I can't even pronounce these people's names.
I give those ones to you on purpose.
No, they're not that. Well, one of them is fucking stupid.
One of them that I'm supposed to shout out is Jenna Corbett, and we already shouted her out and gave her the
Did we?
Yucateco winner-loser.
That's fucked up. You can give her two for one, man?
Yeah.
Two for one. She ain't had one of them in a long time.
Yeah, because her original married name before, or her name before she's married was Jenna Jameson. She used to get two for one all the time.
All the time.
Sometimes and, five for one.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, yeah. So now when she got married, it's Corbett. So
yeah.
She had a record of five dicks in one hole all at the same time.
Sorry about
kind
that.
Kind of stuffed them in.
It's not that impressive.
It's like 10 balls touching each other like a circle.
The positioning is more impressive than the feet itself.
Well, that's, I mean, she was just there for the acrobatics that happened on her. They're like tripoding.
There was like ropes and stuff. It looked like a French circus.
Yeah. Circus.
Speaking of a French
circus d'Olay.
Dave's crotch is like a French circus.
Oh God.
That's how we end the show with a crazy description.
Let's see, get another picture. That was horrible.
Yeah. Dave's
crotch. What color did you dye your hair today?
A French color?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Looks like Mario Batali on the cooking channel down there.
Mon Dieu.
Dave's crotch looks like two midgets playing ping pong and singing karaoke at a drag festival. I just keep adding things to it descriptively.
It looks like the donkey show down there.
Yeah, that's kind of a compliment.
Yeah
a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Looks like an albino chili
cook-off. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. You're my friend, kind of.
Talked right over my albino chili cook-off. That was good. I don't know what that means.
Albino chili. Exactly. That's why I talked over it.
All right, that's all I got.
All right, don't be retarded.
Sometimes I just like to spit, man. Straight bars. Get back on this East Coast shit, man. For the past 3 years, not a second sober. Medicated comas, my cologne is weed aroma, and Heineken is my chauffeur. I'm pretty dope, but I know this dope just makes me doper. So roll that smoke and keep smoking if you're a smoker. I'm cocky, I got hands, and I rap just like Adrian Broner. So don't bring that bullshit to me, leave it in Barcelona. Get money, get a life, get lost, or get over. I was born with no luck, found some seven-leaf clovers, sparked a blunt and started driving myself towards Range Rovers.
guns with no holsters. Wild, wild west. Couple dogs been shot. Why you think they call me your vet? As long as she got a fat ass, I don't mind smaller breasts. I beat that pussy up like that pussy owes me some rent. Wow. Used to make music for love, now I make music to vent. All my songs are like sex in the woods, fucking intense.
Get it?
Sick of making sense, son. I'd rather make singles, cause this shit's getting old like your very first wrinkle. They tell me keep it simple, I tell them to keep it sacred. I told you that you would love me, they warned me about this hatred. Feeling like a librarian surrounded by this paper. Know a bunch of Haitian thugs and got plugged straight from Jamaica. Old friends deported, value for life distorted. Trying to get a mortgage in a whip that's been imported. Killing for Porsches in a fortress. Dumb bitch and she's foreign and she's gorgeous.
She
was never a fan of Fords, but always kept me a Taurus. Never a tree hugger, but I kiss trees in the forest. Been to tons of countries and cities, but I don't feel like a tourist. No matter where I'm at, I'm important. I'm Hoffa. No matter where I'm at, I'm important. I'm Hoffa.